Bibles, if you would, tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Good to have our visitors with us tonight. Great to have you in the service. Amen. Trust the Lord to feed you. Give us from the Word of God what we need. Amen. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the passage of Scripture that we've been dealing with. Brother Josh, is it four or five messages, I think, that we've already preached out of this passage of Scripture, I think, or this may be number five, I'm not sure. But this is number five tonight. And I've been preaching on the subject of the inward man being renewed day by day. I believe that it is, in fact, I'm very confident that it is the only way that you're going to survive, and I'm going to survive the testing and the trying times that are coming our way, is to have the inner man bigger than the outer man. Have the inner man stronger than the outer man. Have the inner man in leadership instead of the outward man. And I believe it's the key. I believe it is with all my heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 1. We've not been in this passage in just a little while. I'm going to read the whole chapter again just to refresh our mind. Verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We have also believed, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, well, I like that, amen. That abundant grace, that lets me know it's going to be enough, that abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. And just, I'd like to read the first verse of chapter 5, just in light of Brother Obi, and I almost referenced this verse in the funeral yesterday. For we know, in light of this passage I just read, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What a blessing. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. We pray, dear Lord God, that you'll give us wisdom, direction, and help. Lord, I need you tonight. I need you to anoint me with power from on high. Lord, I need the touch of God. Oh, I need the touch of the Lord Jesus. I pray, dear God, that you'll help us tonight. Lord, speak to me. Speak through me, Lord. And God, we'll be careful to give you thanks and praise for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for our sakes we pray. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, I know you probably noticed as we were reading it, verse number 1 referenced the ministry that we've received, that we have. We've received mercy, we faint not. Notice that. As we have received mercy, we faint not. And then again, back in down in verse number 16, for which cause we faint not. And then verse 8, 9, and 10, and 11, and actually 12. He's talking about the conflicts, the crisis, the troubles that come in the life of the believer, where he said we're troubled, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're cast down, we're bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, and on, showing us that if you serve God and live for the Lord, it's not going to be smooth sailing, it's not going to be a bed of roses, there's going to be some hard times, dark times, there's going to be some valley times, there's going to be some times of opposition, but thank God opposition is an opportunity, obstacles are an opportunity. Amen. For God to demonstrate to us His abundant grace, to show us that He's greater than our trial. He's greater than our the enemies that would come against us. But verse number 16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I believe that it is so important that the inward man be renewed day by day. Now, I know I mentioned this before, but the word fainting there in verse 1 and verse 16 is in the active voice, and that simply means the subject is the doer of the action. Fainting is not what is being done to you. Fainting is what you're doing to yourself. Hello? The devil can turn the heat up. The devil can put problems and trials and testings and temptations and all in your life, but the devil cannot make you faint. The devil has got to get you weak before he can get you wicked. He's got to get you weak before you'll be vulnerable. And listen, I know we talk about the devil being, and he is. I'm not downplaying the fact that the devil is more powerful than any of us. But when our inner man is right with God, and we're full of the Holy Ghost, the devil himself, listen, cannot overthrow a child of God. Amen, that's right. Amen. I'm not boasting of myself nor of you. I am bragging upon the spiritual enablement and power, Brother Tom, that comes to a child of God through the inner man. Through the inner man. Amen. You remember in Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights tempted him. I'm talking about a personal attack. But Jesus went through it and came out victorious. And I know what some of you are thinking. Of course he did, preacher. That was God manifest in the flesh. And we do believe he is God manifest in the flesh. But I remind you that when Jesus was being confronted of the devil and his response to those temptations, he never one time resorted to his divinity to defend himself. What did he do? He quoted Scripture. You can do that. If he had turned the rocks to bread, I couldn't do that. Amen. If he could have jumped from the pinnacle or from the top of the mountain and not get hurt, I couldn't do that. Amen. But Jesus stayed inside the boundaries of his humanity. He defeated the devil with the very tools that you and I have. What tools were they? Number one, the Scriptures. He quoted the Word of God, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. The devil cannot handle the Word of God, because the Word of God represents the God of the Word. And I'll tell you another way that Jesus overcame the devil in the wilderness was not just with the Word of the Scripture, but the Bible said He was full of the Holy Ghost. Hello? If Jesus Christ needed to be full of the Spirit of God to overcome and have victory, how much more shall you and I need that? Being filled with the Spirit of God is a doctrine that very seldom ever gets preached and very seldom ever gets practiced. And we wonder why the majority of people in church live defeated lives. God wants us up here, and we're the majority of the time we're dragging our tracks out. I'll tell you why. We're not yielding to, and we're not depending on the enablement that comes through the inner man, the Spirit of God. Amen. The Word of Scripture. The being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You and I, we have the Scripture. And you and I are told in the Word of God that we're to be filled with the Spirit. How many people go to church and will live their life and die and never know what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God? Never know. Being filled with the Spirit of God is being saturated, being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. If you've been saved 5 minutes, or if you've been saved 90 years, it don't matter. God says it's His will for you to be filled with the Spirit of God. There's no way that you can fulfill the work of God without being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. God's will never be brought to pass in your life and completed in your life unless you do so, attempt it with the Spirit of God. Amen. Well, amen. I didn't mean to get on that, but it's, I believe we need to be renewed day by day. That new, renewed, being made fresh, that being restored on a daily basis. I believe we need that. We must have that. What we've dealt with, and I'll try not to get hung up, but what we've dealt with thus far is, number one, we've dealt with the meaning of this word renewal. And I'm not going to go back and reread that and re-preach that. But just simply put, it's that every day, day by day, being brought into a restored freshness. Amen. Having your spiritual life refreshed on a daily basis. Have your inner man refreshed on a daily basis. Goodness, wouldn't that not help you as a Christian? Would that not help our church? Would that not help the cause of Christ? Oh my goodness. A lot of people don't get excited, Brother Craig, about the song you sung in the choir. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. You know why they don't get excited about that? Because to remember that day, they have to go all the way back to that day. Amen. I don't have to go all the way back to that day, because that day is alive in me now. That day is alive in today. In my life, I see the results. I see the fruit. I see the evidence of being saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. They've got over it. You've left your day of salvation back yonder and somewhere in years past, and it's not vibrant in your life today. Well, amen. There's the meaning of renewal. Number two, we've noticed this already in the messages, the must of renewal. Being renewed day by day is not a suggestion, recommendation, a good idea. It is a must. You remember me preaching that message, don't you? The inner man. Why is it so important that I bring my inner man into a state of freshness every day? Let the God of heaven refresh me on a daily basis. The inner man. Because the inner man receives from God. Remember that? The inner man realizes God. The inner man reverences God. It's the inner man that romances with God. It's the inner man that rejoices in God. It's the inner man that reveals God through the body. Amen. Number three, write it down. Not only the meaning of this word renewal, the must of this word renewal, but number three, the maintenance of this renewal. The very term having the inner man renewed day by day suggests that the inner man, it can get in a state to where it needs to be renewed. Amen. Boy, that's the case, isn't it? Amen. Your spirituality is not automatic. Your spirituality, listen, you can lose ground just because you may have been on let's just say level number 5, whatever that level is. That's not locked in. That's not concrete. You can be on 5 tonight or 8 tonight and be on 1 tomorrow. Amen. The maintenance, it requires maintenance in your life. Maintenance. You're not maintaining. You're not maintaining your salvation. If you're big enough to maintain it, then you'd be big enough to manufacture it. No, we're maintaining our spiritual life. We're maintaining the life. God gives us our life. That's our life. That's His gift to me. And I give unto them eternal life. You remember? So, Brother Tim, God giving you eternal life is His gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to Him. Amen. There is the maintenance of renewal. Just like a car, you ignore the maintenance aspect of your car. I promise you, there's a day coming that you will be broke down on the side of the road. You just ignore the maintenance responsibilities of your spiritual life. There will be a breakdown day coming. There'll be a day coming where people will look at you as a has-been and a used-to-be and used to go to church and used to sing and used to preach and used to have a testimony for the Lord. That's not God's will, friend, for you to break down on the side of the road. Maintenance. Number 5, I guess it is. Number 5, the manner of renewal. The manner. How is it that we're to do this? How often are we supposed to do this? The Bible says in verse 16, day by day. Number 5 is where I think we've got to, or maybe we'll kind of start digging in this point. The motives of renewal. What is it that motivates you to be renewed on a daily basis? Boy, this makes good sense to me, and it should to you as well. The first one, I think we've already covered this, was the first motive for my daily, day-by-day renewal is the perishing of the outward man. Why would I want to lean on the outward man to carry me when it's perishing? Right. And that word perishing means it's declining, it's decaying, it's going from worse to worse. Amen. Don't depend on the outward man, your flesh, your human nature. Don't depend on that to carry you, friend. It'll let you down. The arm of flesh will fail you. That is the certainty of it. Amen. Amen. Why should I want to be motivated to renew the inner man? Because of the perishing of the outward man. Number 2, I need to be motivated to be renewed on the inner man every day because of the persistence of the enemy. And we found in Genesis 39 and verse 19, Potiphar's wife, the Bible said that her attack on Joseph was day by day. Isn't that amazing? Why do I need to be renewed, Brother Jeter, every day in my inner man? Because of the persistence of the enemy. Do you think the devil takes a vacation? Do you think he goes on gets a break? No. Listen, if you defeat him in one approach, he will just come back and come at you at another angle and come at you another angle. He's persistent. You at least got to give him that. He don't quit. And brother, the first minute that you let up, the first minute that you think, okay, I've got this, the devil's going to move in and attack. Amen. That's why I believe Paul said in Philippians 3, have no confidence in the flesh. The perishing of the outward man, the persistence of the enemy, problems and pressures of life is number 3. That's why we should have the inner man renewed. Verse number 8 and 9, we're troubled, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're cast down. That's for a believer. We're troubled on every side, that's outward, yet not distressed, that's inward. We're perplexed, that's outward, but not in despair, that's inward. We're persecuted, that's outward, but we are not forsaken, that's inward. He said we're cast down, that's on the outside, that's outward. But he said we are not destroyed. That's on the inside. Oh, I want to tell you, church, we need to be renewed daily in our inner man because of the problems and the pressures of life. Right. Amen. Boys, I've been around the Seabolt family this week. I have seen the grace of God. Went to the funeral with the family, funeral home with the family yesterday. And Miss Patsy, I saw the grace of God in Miss Patsy. I mean, I saw the grace of God. If you'd have took the grace of God away from Miss Patsy, she probably wouldn't be here today. Hey, I wonder how many ladies would have buried their husband on Saturday and would be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night the next day. Well, preacher, my toes are hurting. The reason I'm laying out of the house of God. I'd say if anybody had an excuse not to be here tonight, Miss Patsy, you would have probably had an excuse not to be here. And if she hadn't have been here today, I probably wouldn't have, no doubt wouldn't have felt bad about it. But she come on anyhow. And I want you to know, sis, you bless me. You bless me. You bless me as you are a demonstration and an evidence of the grace of God. Amen. When it looks like as circumstances says quit. When circumstances says you've got an excuse. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. And you go on and serve God anyhow. I want to tell you, you are a display of the grace of God. Hallelujah, that's right. Woo! Glory to God. Problems are going to come. Last Sunday, I didn't know what would transpire this week. Had no clue last Sunday what would transpire. And here it is again on Sunday. I have no idea what we're going to face by next Sunday. Do you realize the possibilities that could have happened in this church by next Sunday? Do you realize what devastation, what could come against this church body, from the pulpit through the pews between now and next Sunday morning? Problems and pressures of life. And we better not wait to see what happens and then pray. We better make sure the inner man is renewed day by day. Whoa, glory to God. The pressures and the problems of life. Number four, the fourth reason why we need to be renewed day by day is because of the preventions in our life. To be renewed in the inner man, the first thing it prevents is it prevents fainting. Hallelujah. Oh, the inner man is not what faints. The outward man is what faints. What keeps me from fainting, Brother Scott, is to keep my inner man fed, keep my inner man strong. Amen. It prevents fainting. There's a lot I could say on that. It prevents falling. Usually if you faint, you fall. Amen. I know I've asked you before how many's fainted in here, and we've had some to raise your hand. And you know, unless you're sitting down, unless you're laying down, if you happen to be standing up when you faint, I promise you, you are going to hit the floor. Amen. So if you see yourself becoming faint, you're seeing the symptoms starting to come into your life. Come on now. Don't wait till a blackout comes. Don't wait till a blackout comes. No, it's too late then. Amen. It's too late then. You're going to get hurt. Amen. You're going to break something. There's been people when they fall due to fainting, they break something. They break an arm. They break their face. Amen. Remember me telling my wife. And actually, she's still got a white mark right there on her lip where her tooth come plumb through her lip when she passed out that day in the kitchen and hit the floor on her face, and she didn't bounce. I mean, it hurt me just about it. I said, oh. I mean, I was sympathetic. Are you listening? Don't wait till you're blacked out. Don't wait. You know what some of the symptoms of fainting is? It starts affecting your sight. You start getting blurred vision. You start seeing spots floating around. Spiritually, don't wait till you've blacked out. Don't wait till you're out of church. Don't wait, my friend of the church is wondering, where are you? And you're a request of prayer. When you're starting to see blurred vision, what does that mean? Brother Mark, when you've got clear vision, you see lines, distinct lines. This is wrong. This is right. But when you're starting to faint spiritually, those lines of distinction, those lines of separation becomes blurry. Amen. It affects your sight. You can see symptoms coming. Amen. Oh my, God help me to keep my eye on my spiritual life and start to notice when my vision begins to blur. Well, preacher, it used to be that I stood against this, but now I'm wondering about it. Preacher, this used to be wrong. I went to the altar one time and I dealt with this in my life. I gave that up in my life, but you know, preacher, I'm starting to wonder, was that really me, or was that just whatever the motive was? Blurred vision. Blurring the lines. It starts affecting your sight. It starts affecting your sense. Folks, I'm talking about, and I don't want to get hung up right here, but listen. You should notice when the fainting symptoms are starting to come in your life. When it starts affecting your sight. When it starts affecting your sense. When you're starting to faint, you don't think clearly. And I believe this, friend, if the devil can get your thoughts, if he can get your thinking, he's got your living. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I believe if the devil can gain access to your thought life and get your thought life off of the inner man and get your thought life on the outward man, that he can get your living, because you're going to live according to how you think. It starts affecting your senses, your thoughts. It starts affecting, write this one down, it starts affecting your sensitivity, your feelings. You know what comes in, ladies and gentlemen, you know what comes in with fainting? Numbness. You start getting numb. What once moved you, now don't move you. What once blessed you, now don't bless you. What once stirred you, now don't stir you. You're setting a service with God moving, and it's like I don't feel nothing. That's a symptom of fainting. It affects your sensitivity. It affects your speech. Fainting will show up in your mouth. If you're fainting spiritually, we can tell it. Never want to talk about the Lord. Never want to testify. Amen. It'll show up in your speech. It'll show up in your strength. Weakness and fainting goes together. And I believe, as I said earlier, if the devil can get you weak, he can get you wicked. It affects your stability. When you're fainting, you're starting to faint. You become wobbly. Hello? Your uprightness is challenged. Instead of you standing firm and standing solid and standing true, when you start getting faint, you start getting that wobbly look. Your testimony starts getting wobbly. You start leaning this way one week, and then the next thing you know, you're leaning this way the next week. And you're starting to wobble. And your stability is questioned. And you begin to lose your balance. Instead of being, you know, a false balance is an abomination. Right. We need to be balanced. And you begin to lose your balance. It affects your stability. It affects your stand. Stand. Fainting certainly will challenge your uprightness, as I mentioned. It will challenge. Listen, I'm talking about symptoms. Don't wait till you've passed out. Somebody, when you wake up and you look at people and the preacher says, "Miss Sarah, you fainted." Miss Sarah would say to me, "Preacher, what happened to me? Last thing I knew, I was in church. I was in the youth choir." I'm just using her as an example because she's on the end of the road. Preacher, what happened to me? I didn't see it coming. I don't know what happened. Next thing I know, I was going to youth camp and I was in the youth choir and all of that. And the next thing I know, preacher, I had fainted and I'd fallen. Don't wait till that happens. And by the way, fainting is not an age factor. You don't have to be old or a certain age to faint. And I want to tell you, the enemy of your spiritual life, man, I feel God tonight. The enemy of your spiritual life, just as soon for a young convert and a young child to faint as he would the preacher to faint. And the effects are the same. Nolan just got saved a little over a week ago. Devil want him to faint spiritually. And Nolan, you can faint spiritually. Amen. Just don't feed your spiritual life with the Word of God and prayer. And I'm sure your mom and dad will help you with that, of feeding yourself, feeding you with the Word of God and prayer. Ignore your inner man. Ignore that new life that God gave you. And I promise you it'll get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Amen. And then when you're tested, there will be no strength there to oppose it. Amen. It affects your steps, your service. Well, amen. Listen, it prevents fainting, it prevents falling, it prevents failing. Let me move on. I'm just going to skip on down here. This is going to be our last main thought, but I'm not going to deal with it all tonight. There's no way I can, and plus I don't believe God wants me to. But I'm going to deal with at least two, maybe three of them. I've established already in these four and a half messages, that fainting is a possibility. And Brother Travis, the only prevention is my inner man being renewed day by day. And Brother Carol, I don't want to faint. I don't want to faint. Lord, have mercy. How could I face these young people? How could I face you? How could I face this church where I preached for 23 years if I were to faint? But I want to know, Brother Tom, I want to know, I want to keep it in my mind, Brother Mark, that I can. I am not faint-proof. I am not fail-proof. I am not fall-proof. To him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. I promise you, if Samson failed, I can fall. I promise you, if Gideon failed in his latter days, I can. You look at the people of the Bible that blazed a trail and had a fabulous testimony for the Lord, and they blew it in the last years of their life. I don't want that. I want to finish well. I want to finish right. I want to finish well. I've started right. I want to continue right. And I want to draw my last breath being right with God. I do. I do, but I always want to be alert to the fact that I have not arrived. I am not on a level that is fail or faint proof. No. Amen. This preacher needs you to pray for him all the time. All the time. Amen. But here, listen, we've established we can. But we've been dealing with this word renewal. But here's what I want to hone in on these last couple of messages. I want to deal with the method of renewal. Okay, preacher, we need to be renewed day by day. How? This chapter is full of it. And some of them, I'm telling you, lit my fire, buddy. The first one I want to start dealing with tonight, and I'm just going to deal maybe a couple, maybe three at the most. Number one, and it'd be all right if I don't deal with nothing but this one. But the first thing I want to show you is a method of renewal. Is to verse 1, keep the inner man serving. Keep the inner man serving. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. How is it that the inner man is renewed? Quitting is certainly not the way.
Right, man. You're right.
pulling away from church, pulling away from ministry, pulling away from the will of God for your life is not the way of renewal.
You're right.
Keep the inner man serving.
Right.
Lord, you've given, and by the way, every saved person has a ministry. Most people will live their life and die and never know what it is. They think, oh, preaching's a ministry. Teaching's a ministry. Singing's a ministry. And they'll name off four or five categories like that. But I want to tell you what, if you're saved, God has saved you to serve the Lord. And I use Nolan because he's the last one to get saved. He's only a couple of weeks old in the Lord. Wave at me right there, Nolan. Some people don't know who I'm talking about. It's that young man right there. Sister Michelle, you still tickled to death about that. I'm telling you. Are you listening? If God wanted, Nolan, how old are you? 10 years old. If God wanted Nolan to wait till he was 20 to have gotten serious about serving the Lord, he'd have waited till he was 20 to save him. Amen. God saved Nolan at 10 years old. That means he's got a purpose for him at 10 years old. He's got a plan for him at 10 years old. He's got people that he wants to work through you, Nolan, to speak to be an example to them. Show them your new life. Show them that you've got a new Lord. Show them you've got a new longing in your heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah, amen. Everybody's got a ministry. All of you young ladies, as far as I know, you say you're saved, and there's evidence of that. You've got a ministry.
Right.
A sure way to start fainting is to pull away from your ministry. Get slack in your serving. Get slack in your serving. Start pulling away. Amen. Amen. We got those in our church. I tell people, well, I said, we've got four preachers in our church under the age of 13 and they can't believe it. I can't hardly believe it. What an awesome responsibility we have, RBT, to have such of that, to train them. And amen. Brother Ben, I know. I'm just picking on you because I'm just happening to be looking at you. You know what would be easy for you to do? Get slack in your ministry. Oh, I'm just, how old are you being? 12. Samuel, 13. Oh, I'm just 12 years old. I'm 13 years old. I don't need to really get with it. Again, just like I said with Brother Nolan, if God wanted to wait for you to get serious about preaching, he'd have waited till later on to have called you. He called you at your young age because he wants you to get established before the storm hits. He wants you to have a ministry. He wants you to know how to study the Word of God and to preach and to communicate to people before the storm hits. Amen, that's right. Well, keep the inner man serving. Paul, in this context, starts out by saying, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Not serving God is not an option. But if you get faint, you know what's one of the first things to go? Your service. A fainting person is not a working person. A fainting person is not a walking person. A fainting person. Oh, by the way, amen. Did you know a fainting person resembles a dead person? Yeah. No movement. No audible sounds. No indications of life. In fact, Brother Silas, the word fainting, that's what one of the definitions is, to be spiritless and lifeless. It also means to lose heart. Well, let me deal with a couple of things. Man, I'm telling you, keep serving. Keep the inner man. Oh, God, give this to me. Keep the inner man serving. Oh, isn't that easy sometimes, but isn't that hard sometimes? Right. To feed this crowd right here, it requires a lot of studying. I'm telling you, buddy. I can't just tiptoe through the tulips around this bunch. And I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad it's that way. But brother, I'm going to tell you right now, much studying is weariness to the flesh. Sometimes I have to make myself study. You say, preacher, not you. No, not Rev. Oh, yes. Come on now. I'm talking about, Brother Tim, we're going to faint. A prevention of fainting and a renewing of the inner man. Keep the inner man serving. I didn't get in to get out. I didn't get on to get off. By the grace of God, Brother Jacob, I got in this thing serving the Lord, and I'm still there, and I intend to finish out my days serving the Lord. Amen. Quitting serving is a sure way that your inner man, you think your inner man is going to be renewed by quit serving or get slack serving? That's what the devil will tell you. Man, you're tired, aren't you? You're weary, aren't you? And I know there's times that you need some rest. I understand even Jesus talked to his disciples and said, come you apart into a desert place and rest a while. I understand that. But there's a difference of needing rest, pulling back from service to rest a little bit, as to pull back from service because you're declining spiritually. Anyway, let me move on. Because I do want to deal with at least three. This third one would be a big one. I don't know if I can get it out or not. The second one I'd like to give to you is this. Not only keep the inner man serving, but keep the inner man strengthened. Look, turn if you will to Ephesians 3. You're right there real close. And I know you know this verse, but I want to give it to you. I want you to see it. I want you to see it. This is in one of the prayers of the Apostle Paul. Man, I believe God's trying to help us tonight. I've had great liberty to preach tonight. And I bless his name for that. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Note this, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Just because you're weak physically doesn't mean you have to be weak spiritually. Right. Amen. I was trying to think of that. Miss Nikki, do you remember what I sent you that day? It's on my mind about halfway. Something about to be down physically doesn't mean you have to be down spiritually. Was it something like that? And I know what we think. I know what we think. I know how we think. If I'm down physically, then that's my excuse to be down spiritually. Right. And it's not easy when you're sick. Yes, you're right. Amen. And I thank God I'm not sick, hardly ever sick. To God be the glory. Amen. And there's some of you in here that battle with a lot of Miss Nikki. Is it hard? Is it hard to keep the spiritual man up when the physical man is down? I don't have to put that in a question form. I can put that in a statement because I know. Are y'all listening? Keep the inner man serving. Number two, keep the inner man strengthened. Watch it right there. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 3 in verse number 16. Paul is praying for the church. Paul's praying for the family of God. And here's what he said. Look at it. To be strengthened with might, here it comes, by his Spirit. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if I'm going to be strengthened with might, I have got to be right with the Spirit of God. I can't be grieving the Spirit of God. I can't be quenching the Spirit of God. I can't be resisting the Spirit of God. I've got to be in line with the Holy Spirit, because watch this. Oh, mercy. Everything that God does for you and to you comes through His Spirit. Now, I want that to get big to you. You ever seen an hourglass? If I knew I was going to preach this right here, I'd have brought one. Have that hourglass turned up. Turn it up to where everything's on the top, and it starts trickling in to the bottom. Everything on top must pass through that one little place that can be easily stopped up. That little squeezed place represents the Spirit of God. Everything from above can come to me below, but it's got to come through the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's got to come through that one little place. Amen. Be strengthened with might by His Spirit. You can't ignore the Holy Spirit and put Him on the side burner and not listen to Him and not let Him lead you and then expect to have the inner man strengthened. Could I say, Brother Chuck, the devil's intentions, my friend, to cause you to be faint and to cause you to get weak in the inner man is to cause you to have distance between you and the Holy Spirit. And how many people in church, their spiritual life is very weak because they're not being led by the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I wonder about some folk. I wonder, where is the Holy Spirit? I wonder, where is the Holy Spirit? Well, let me try to give you this one right here and we'll be done. Or at least part of it. I may not give all of it, but let me deal with some of it. Keep the inner man serving, verse 1. Keep the inner man strengthened, verse number 1 of our text. And I'm using that word faint there, which suggests weakness. We've received mercy. Oh, mercy, I just saw something. I don't know if we'll be on number 3 or not. Why should I be serving? What is it that should motivate me to be serving, Brother Silas? What does it say in verse 1? Therefore we have received
mercy.
Oh, Lord. Mercy! Why should I want to serve? Why should I not want to faint? Why should I want to have the inner man renewed? It's because I am a recipient of the mercies of God. Amen. His mercies is that I didn't get what I deserve. Amen. Is that not a motive for you to be serving the Lord? You've been a recipient of mercy. You've received mercy. Well, hey man, you have to meditate on that. Keep it serving. Keep it strengthened. Thirdly, there won't be no glory on this point. If you're going to shout a little bit, it'd been on them others, but there won't be none on this one. Keep the inner man seen. Keep the inner man serving. Keep the inner man strengthened. But also verse 2 and verse 3, keep the inner man seen. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Watch verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Are y'all listening? Where is the gospel at, according to this text? It is called our gospel, if our gospel be hid. It's been given to us. The word of reconciliation has been given to us. The gospel has been given to us. The gospel message has been given to us. Amen. but it's hid. And I believe this. If we're, listen, to keep the inner man serving, keep the inner man strengthened, keep the inner man seen. Not hid. Not hid. Look, turn over. I just thought of this passage. I don't even have it. I didn't even think about it just now. Is it 2 Peter? Yes, there it is. 2 Peter, no, 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn over there real quick. I'm not going to be able to deal with all this point here, but that'll be all right. I'll just unhook. We'll hook back up later. I'm talking about right here the importance, Brother Mark, the importance here of keeping the inward man seen. The devil's design is to keep the inward man hid. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Do y'all hear that? The devil is behind you hiding the inner man. Why? Because he has lost people in mind. Look at this chapter. Look at this passage. Classic example. I don't know why I didn't think of it. Lord just brought it to my mind just now. 1 Peter 3, context is saved women, saved wives, winning lost husbands to the Lord. Here's what it says. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may be without the word, be won, how? By our conversation, by the conversation of the wives. That word conversation is not exclusively talking about your voice and your words. It includes that. But this word conversation is many times in the New Testament references your behavior, your conduct, your demeanor, and all those things. You may win him by the conversation of the wife. Look at verse 2. While they, that is the lost husband, behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Look at verse number 3. And I don't have time to get into the defense of this and all of that. Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward. What am I preaching right now? What am I preaching? Keep the inner man seen. Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning and plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Of course, he deals with the husband in verse 7, but I want to just point out as an illustration that God, through the Apostle Peter, was letting us know that if you're wanting to win that lost husband, let them see the hidden man of the heart. Now I know there's some denominations that went plumb out and left field on this passage. And they quote verse number 3 and they say, whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning, plaiting of hair. And they said, therefore you shouldn't fix your hair. And the wearing of gold, you shouldn't have any jewelry on. And in the putting on of apparel. Hey, come on now, if you're going to stay in context, I mean, if you're going to stay with your false teaching, you're not supposed to plait your hair, and you're not supposed to wear jewelry, and also you're not supposed to wear clothes. And we all know good and well that that's not the teaching of the Bible. It's amazing how just a little common sense, looking at the context of Scripture, would eliminate some false teaching. The point is being made is don't go to the excess. Don't, my friend, cause the outward person, the outward body, to be so attractive. And it's not teaching you ladies are not supposed to be attractive to your husband. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with brushing your teeth and putting on deodorant and taking a bath. And amen. And at least At least, listen. Say amen right there. Amen. First get married, I mean every day, son, you all spiffed up. Been married a while, come in, the husband comes in from work, and you're still in your PJs. Your hair looks like a stinking rat's nest, and your breath would wilt the bark off a tree, amen. He's not talking about that. He's talking about don't focus on the outward man. If you're wanting to win your lost husband, or if in our text, in our message tonight, if we're wanting to win lost neighbors, if we're wanting to win lost relatives, if we're wanting to win lost people that we work with and go to school with, make sure that they see the hidden man of the heart instead of being distracted by the outward. And boy, I'd like to preach on that, and I plan on it. But not tonight. Don't think you can handle it. Keep the inward man seen. That inward man is not going to be seen if the outward man has got the distraction. Say amen right there. Amen. If the outward man has got the distraction, if the flesh and the physical and skin has got the attention, I promise you that nobody's going to see the Holy Spirit in you. Nobody's going to see Jesus in you if they're seeing your nakedness. Amen right there. Amen. And buddy, we're in that day. We are in that day, friend, where immodesty, friend, is creeping in like a flood in our churches. Do you think, listen, I don't know how girls think. It's probably a good thing. But I know how boys think. Because I was one. Are y'all listening? And I'll guarantee you that a boy is not going to have God on his mind. Salvation, the Bible, what the preacher's preaching, if there is skin around him. If there's tightness. Amen. Amen. I'm sick of it. Come up to here, all this tight stuff on. A lot of women starting to wear these tights. Don't wear no clothes much. They just wear tights. Hello? Do you not listen to the word? Tight. They're called tights because they're tight. And they show the physical features of your body. Amen. You say, you're meddling. You don't want me to get on that. Amen. I'm not trying to ruin this message, but I am telling you, you can hide the inner man by the revealing and the exposure of your flesh. Say amen right there. You don't get that kind of dress code from the Bible. That dress code comes from Hollywood, comes from that crowd that don't know God and don't have no fear of God and no love for God whatsoever. They're the ones that said, take your clothes off and dress like you've got them painted on. Amen. Skin and sin always goes together. Hello. I ain't hit that in a while. Feeling good. That's right. God ain't a million miles of low-cut dresses on girls. Low-cut blouses showing cleavage. You said, preach, that's too plain. I'll shut up. You watch the television, you watch Hollywood, you watch that trash, and then the preacher preaches against immodesty, and you get all bent out of shape? Say amen right there. I see some young girls out in town, and I thought, under God, where's their parents at? How in the world did they get out of the house looking like that? Say amen right there. I'm going to preach it anyhow. Amen. That's right. Mini skirts is of the devil, friend, and I don't care who it is that's got them on. Amen. Your thigh is your nakedness. The Bible says that. And guess what? Your thigh starts at your knee. In any posture you sit down, stand up, raise your hands, your knees should never be exposed. Hello. If you can't raise your hand and praise God without exposing your knee, your dress is too short. Yeah. And that's not harping. That's not a hobby horse. That's in the Bible. Say amen. That's not legalism. We're talking about hiding the inner man. We're talking about keeping sinners from seeing Jesus in your life because you're more interested in them seeing your flesh. Hello. Let me just let y'all in on a little secret. This preacher is not impressed with your flesh. Amen. I'll never forget it. Brother Ivan, I don't know if you remember it. But I had to take a stand years ago, Brother Ivan, first started coming here. Hey man, I've done preached my shoes untied. Kept wondering, what in the world am I stepping on? You remember that when I had to take a stand years ago here at this church on some immodesty issues? And you questioned me at your house. I'll never forget it. You questioned, preacher, what about me? But you just hadn't been saved long and you didn't know. And I told him the truth. I gave him the truth and told him my stand and why and the Bible. Amen. And he saw it. But then he invited me, or he was invited, and I just went along with him to a church not far from here. Remember that? We went to a revival meeting. I guess that's the only time I've ever been in that church. And we got in there and we were sitting there just like good RBT church members. And they called for somebody to come up to sing. And I don't know what Brother Ivan did because I didn't look at him. But I know what I did. I had to look at the ceiling as that young lady walked down the aisle. She was so indecent. I had to look at the ceiling. Brother Carroll, I couldn't even look at her and her singing. And I told Brother Ivan, I said, see what I'm talking about? When people's looking at your flesh, you have got the gospel hid. And I promise you, God will not expose His Son on the cross and then be behind you hiding the Spirit of God in your life with immodesty. The first thing, amen, I told you y'all couldn't handle. I didn't even give you the 2 points. Verse 2's a point, and verse 3's a point. And we'll deal with that later, but listen here. The first thing, Brother Tom, the first thing that God did after the fall of man in the garden, the first thing, there wasn't another woman for Adam to lust after, there wasn't another man for Eve to lust after or to lust after Eve. The first thing He did was dealt with their nakedness. He clothed them. Amen. Hallelujah. You might as well say amen. They had on the fig leaves. Say amen. That didn't cover much of nothing when there was nobody to look and lust. God covered them with a coat. And you study it out, friend. It didn't stop at just their waist. It went to the ground. Well, amen. I didn't think y'all handled it. I don't preach on that all the time. You know I don't. But I'm going to tell you, I am going to hit it every once in a while, especially if it's in our text, right in the passage where we're preaching from. It's right there. We're not hiding the gospel. The devil's behind the carnal life. Why? He wants to hide the gospel. He wants to hide and disguise the gospel. Why? He wants sinners to stay lost. Amen. Well, praise God anyhow. Amen. Talking about renewing the method. How do you do it? Keep it serving. Keep it strengthened. Keep it seen. And then we've got 3 or 4 more. Hey, but you know what? If y'all can hold on, not tonight. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I've done preached out. But if you'll hang on till we can get on through some of these negative humps. We can get past this one. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what the next one is, or you may think, okay, now he hit that one tonight. Wednesday night I'm into this. Well, Sunday morning I'm into this. Okay, I'll need to lay out Sunday night. That'll be about the time he's hitting the next one. But if you'll hang on, this thing's going to take a turn. It's going to take a turn and go up.